The world didn't end when the Gulf Stream changed pattern. The world did change. The scientists were right in 1977. By 2031, global warming was real. Ice and fire would describe the next 2,000 years. It started slowly with massive flooding. The ice came with a flip of the magnetic poles and a change of axle tilt to 22%. There was time to shield. How and where was the question? Plans were created, rejected, and built yet again. Shielding from the star beating through a depleted atmosphere could be done. Must be done. That fire would burn and devastate the lands not covered with ice. Ice stretching from the uttermost north to what was Kansas in old North America. Europe was not to be spared. Asia covered to edges of Mongolia and even into Pakistan. The composition of the sea was broken by the influx of fresh water, its food chain ruptured, dead and dying. Yet plans were made and executed. Not everyone made it into the freeholds. Underground cities built and sealed against the volcanoes, climate accesses, and marauding bands of once humans ravaging what was left above. Now it's time for the freeholders to come to the surface. Their instruments show a repaired atmosphere, something only time could have done. The oceans, lakes, rivers, and streams were healing and life returning as measured by scouts venturing into the wastelands. Exploring the remade world and a new beginning starts now. Ian Kyleson's story intertwined with the deadly dangers involved with humans returning to the surface. It's the year 4062.
Moonbase, Hope Colony. The year is 4067. Our ancestors were sent here to preserve mankind in the face of the devastation on Earth. Unbeknownst to us, Earth survived. We can never go home to that atmosphere and survive it. We are the next iteration of mankind's future. Listen to our stories as we continue to adapt to this harsh environment. The Kyleson Chronicles legacy can continue through our struggles here in space, our home.
Welcome back. We've reached our 25th episode in this series. We start with Trip Elston leaving thoughts in his personal logs for Hope Colony.
January 26, 4068. From the desk of Colonel Trip Elston, personal diary. With all the explosions from the volcanoes on Earth, all its inhabitants were shuffled quickly to Moonbase Hope Colony, Venus Space Station, and different parts of South America. Freehold 3 and Jed Johnson Colony was still a viable place to live, but they were quickly becoming overcrowded. They too started sending volunteers upstairs, as they called it. Hope Colony became a very busy place in the days after the explosions. Granted, when the refugees started coming up from the planet's surface, all their belongings, family members and pets, were sent through the Scribe's Passage. They were just glad to escape the inevitable future on Earth. Some of the children did end up with nasty colds. No one told the parents to bundle up. The passage can really freeze your behind off. Of course, Delphine helped get them on the right track pretty quick, and fortunately, no one had anything contagious. Rupert Trask stopped in long enough to get his bearings before heading over to Venus Space Station. They offered some of us the opportunity to take command of it. I refused. The stories that were floating around about the goings-on over there made the hackles raise on the back of everyone's neck. Sky Landon was the only one that took the second-in-command slot. I'll sure miss her and Xavier. Today, we have been given the next 2 days off to rest, courtesy of General Walker, from all that has gone on lately. I'm just glad to stop for at least an hour. My pillow and I spent almost 18 hours in total oblivion, to be honest. Didn't realize how much these last few days had actually drained me. I think I may close out so I can go and get a bite to eat. It should be dinner time in the chow hall. I'll write more later. T.
Trip walked into the chow hall, noticing it wasn't too busy. He headed to the food line to get his food quickly, found a table to eat at, and settled down for a nice meal.
Hey, Trip. Mind if I join you?
Not at all. Sorry, you caught me a mid-bite.
How's it going for you today?
Not too bad. I never slept so long in my entire life.
I know what you mean. I think I slept 18 hours myself last night. The last time I slept like that, I was still a teenager.
I concur. I can remember my mom always got on to me for sleeping half a day away when I was in school. She tried to get me up on Saturdays to do stuff with the family, but I just flat slept.
I wasn't quite that bad, but I can still hear my dad fussing over how long I stayed in bed. That seems to be a common theme from all the teenagers, I'm afraid.
Glad I got here before the crowds.
This place gets busy at dinner. Of course, we probably have some of the best cooks in this region of space.
I've never been off the station, so I really don't have anything to compare to.
Corbin mutely nodded his head yes as he prepared to eat another bite. I watched as his hand trembled slightly. Not sure what that was about, but I mind my own business. I'm sure he would have said something if it was serious. Replete, Trip pushed his tray to the side and started on his coffee.
What do you have planned for this evening, Trip?
Not much. I believe they have a new movie showing tonight. It's a documentary on the different species of monkeys that were once in the rainforest.
Those sound interesting. I don't get into documentaries too much. One will catch my attention once in a while. I like fast-acting movies. Now those get my attention.
My wife likes cooking shows and romantic films. I'll watch one with her periodically out of courtesy, but they're just not my taste.
Closest I get to romance is old westerns. You know, the ones with John Wayne in them. I think my favorite of his movies will be The Hellfighters.
My favorite of his was The Green Berets. I like old war movies. They really do depict some of the worst humanity had to offer back in the day.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Some of the Vietnam era movies were pretty good.
I had better get my tray put in the refuse so I can get a good seat at the theater. I'm meeting my wife there after her shift.
I'll see you in the morning staff meeting. Have a great time with the missus.
I watched as he walked out of the dining room. Corbin was a big man, not fat, just tall and muscular. He had a gait about him that brokered no misunderstanding when he walked. I had to laugh on that thought. Trip grabbed his tray and deposited it into the return slot. He looked at his watch and figured he'd better get up to the promenade deck to wait for his wife. As he walked along the corridor to the lifts, he saw new faces he'd never seen before. Guess I'd better get used to the refugees. They were here to stay. He noticed a woman walking with her hand behind her back and grabbing onto the handrails. He hurried over to her for assistance.
Ma'am, is there anything I can do for you? Stay right here. I have EMTs coming to get you to the medical bay.
Watching as they immediately got her traveling towards the medical bay, Trip fondly remembered his wife's first time going into labor. Funny how time flies until you see someone going through the same thing. Not running into any more problems, he made it to the theater just in time to see his wife coming up to the front of the theater. As they stood in line, they had quiet conversations between themselves.
You looking forward to a quiet movie night?
Yes, I am, quite frankly. I can't commit to memory the last time we were able to just take a night off together.
Trip bought drinks and a bag of popcorn. They settled down to watch the movie. Walking back home, they strolled leisurely to their apartments. They both enjoyed the rest of the evening in companionable silence before going to bed for the night. You know, I really do appreciate when I can take a sneak peek into the personal lives. It reminds me of simpler times, before the craziness started. Let's head over to Venus Space Station, where Dr. Ledger is having crazy nightmares about the space station. We find the good doctor in mid-dream. Sounds a little on the psychotic side, if you ask me.
I can't break out of this bubble. Someone please help me! I can't stop the evil Leon from destroying the station! He's going to hurt Sky! No! No! I didn't do anything to Dawn's teeth! The molars are running at me with my own scalpels! How do I escape? Help me! Leon, think about what you are doing! You can't pound on Sky like that! Why did you gas Briscoe? You know he was supposed to go back to Home Colony! Wait, why you tied me up? No, not the tooth drill! I won't hurt anyone ever again!
Wake up, you fool. You're having a bad dream and waking up the entire floor. I said wake up.
Is he gonna be okay? That was some nasty dream. Good Lord, look at his bed. The covers are tied around him.
I'll get him. You get the coffee. He'll need a strong brew to clear his cobwebs.
I watched as Ledger slowly came out of his dream. He looked around bewildered at all the spectators. There were several people in the hallway talking low to themselves about what they were seeing.
What in blue blazes is going on? This noise just woke me out of a good sound sleep. Sky, get him up and start the coffee going. Leon, go back to your station. I've got this. Everyone else disperse. Now!
The hallway cleared immediately with Trask's bellows. Sky, coming back into the room, had a strong cup of coffee that she handed to Ledger.
At least you aren't wound in your sheets. What was all that about scalpels and molars running at you?
I was having a bad dream. Sometimes my job gets to me. This was one of the worst nightmares I've ever had. Did Major Briscoe make it back to Hope Colony? I dreamt he had been gassed by an invisible substance that made him turn away shipments.
I think you need a vacation, Doc. Sky, put him on leave as of right now. In fact, I need to look at all the personnel and see when they took leave last. I want everyone in my briefing room in 30 minutes. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Let me get Cliff settled down and a good meal in him. Do you want him as well on that briefing?
Yes, everyone. Everyone in this command will be there.
Trask left the doctor's quarters and headed back to his office. He looked at his chronograph to see it was almost 5 in the morning. He shook his head as he hurried his pace. Sky sent an urgent message out to all the staff for Trask's command. She got Ledger the promised meal along with her own, eating with him while waiting for him to finish. She excused herself and headed towards the command center to get the conference room ready. Don Wilson was the first to arrive.
I've heard of early morning meetings, but this is ridiculous. Why are we having a meeting at 5:30 in the freaking morning?
General ordered it. You'll find out why here in a few minutes. Have some coffee and donuts. The Chow Hall just brought them in, so that means they're fresh.
Don't mind if I do. I didn't get a chance to eat. Woke up to my alerts going off full blast. Really need to get that turned down some.
If it's the station alert system, that is the volume Trask set. Talk to him about turning it down.
This volume stays as is. Hearing your comments means I made the right choice. You said coffee and donuts, Colonel?
On the credenza behind you.
Well, if this doesn't beat all, I always wanted to wake up to the sight of all your faces this morning.
Good morning to you too, Jack. Grab some grub and take a seat. This won't take long.
I'm here. How long am I supposed to take for leave, General?
1 week. I want you off the station. Go to Hope Colony and enjoy a little downtime. I've already made arrangements with General Walker for your quarters. They're expecting you today. Do I make myself clear, Doctor?
Yes, General. Is that all? I need to go pack for my ordered vacation.
No, take a seat. I want everyone attentive to what I have to say. Get coffee, water, donuts, or whatever you need so you won't have to interrupt the meeting. We start in 15 minutes.
With that, Trask walked back into his office and closed the door. I would not want to be on the receiving end of any calls incoming, that's for sure.
He's in a surly mood. What happened this morning? There are people talking all over the station about our favorite dentist.
Never mind the scuttlebutt. You know the gossips around here make things out to be worse than they are.
Yeah, but it sure makes for good listening.
All the folks in attendance got their refreshments and took a seat. Waiting on Trask, Skye noticed Leon was not in the room. She sent a message to him, but never got a response back before Trask walked in.
I'm calling this meeting to order. Skye, where's Leon?
I sent a message, but he hasn't responded.
I want this meeting recorded so he can listen to it later. Now, there are some things I want to make crystal clear. First, everyone in this room will go through their records to find out who hasn't taken leave and get them scheduled ASAP. Second, HRH will be coming in tomorrow. I want the station clean and ready for his arrival. Third, Don, get appropriate quarters set up for him near mine. The rest of his entourage can be stationed in C Block. I know that section has no one staying in it.
Got it. Does he also get meals in his quarters like the rest of us?
Yes, he will be part of this command section. Three, now that Leon has his android body, you will find him moving around the station on a free basis. That doesn't mean he cannot be reached by comms. I don't care what your thoughts are regarding artificial life. Treat him as an equal. One other thing, in the event of a station-wide emergency, Leon will take over if there is no one available until help arrives. Four, Morden, you will turn in your schedules each week so I know what you have going. You will become my left-hand man. If Don is not available, my right hand will always be Colonel Landon. Is that going to be a problem for you, Doctor?
Oh, not at all, General. That fits quite nicely, if I must say so myself. Thank you for the information.
Good. Don't let it go to your head, Doctor.
Well, I will try to get these schedules in as you ask, but I wouldn't hold my breath if I were you. I'm too busy to adhere to these mundane requests you keep coming up with.
I beg your pardon. I am the commanding general at this station, and my commands will be adhered to. If you cannot handle following my requests for important information, then maybe we ought to have a private talk. Doctor?
I said I would try to get these reports into you, General. That should be enough for me and an answer.
Dr. Morden, I would like to see you in my office 1500 hours today. No excuses.
As you wish, General. May I be excused?
No, you may not until this meeting is over. Now, on to other matters. Yes, Skye.
General, Leon is now listening through AI means. He's on board now.
Leon, I want you to look at what this station needs for stores and requisition those items through Colonel Landon.
Of course, General. I have just finished the list. How do you want it sent to you?
Send it to my desk. Also, send me a location of all military personnel on this station. I need accountability as of today.
I have sent it to your desk in the forms of alphabetical, as well as by departments.
Thank you. Leeds, you are the comm operator, are you not?
Yes, sir.
I want you monitoring all communication in and out of this station. I want to know what's going on at all times.
How do you want me to report any findings to you, sir?
Every day after the briefings, you and I will have a separate meeting to go over anything.
Yes, sir. Starting today, I presume?
Yes. That should have been done all along. Without a solid station commander, things have been haphazard. I will excuse the past transgression. I will have knowledge of all that goes on in this station, even if it costs me my seat or worse, my life.
Understand, sir. Emergency situations, I'll call you directly on the spot.
That's as it should be. Now, are there any questions?
Trask looked at each person to affirm their answer. He stood up and called the meeting closed. He nodded to Don to stay put. Don affirmed it with a quick thumbs up.
Let's go to my office, Don. Skye, I do not want to be interrupted for anything.
Yes, sir. Make sure you lock your office door. That will stop anyone from getting past me.
Already ahead of you. Don, let's go.
Trask waited for Don to clear the doorway before he closed and locked his door. He then took a seat on the couch and motioned to Don to take a chair in his casual setting on the other side of his desk.
The reason I called you in, Don, is to let you know that Hope Colony sent a dummy shipment to our station. It was diverted to Saturn. Walker, from this point on, will be sending shipments the old-fashioned way.
Are you serious? Why would Saturn want to take over any shipments? They supply us.
That's why I want leads to monitor all incoming and outgoing messages. I want to know who the mole is. I believe this is going to escalate. Saturn is not going to like being invaded to retrieve our supplies. Let's see what happens.
Life was so much simpler on Earth. This has been an adjustment of the highest caliber.
For both of us. Remember, I came from Earth also. I'm used to scenarios like this from my past history. You know of my past, I take it.
Very familiar. Running a station like this should come naturally to you.
It does, and it doesn't. Considering my last thoughts of my old life were in a wheelchair up to my neck, I couldn't even talk. I used mind sensors to communicate. It took a volcanologist to get me walking again, so to speak. I won't go into particulars. I was never so glad to see Ian and Cassie when they brought me to this universe. They gave me a whole new life to look forward to.
I read those reports. You'd been through a lot. I also understand why you'd want to keep track of what's going on here. There has been some strange goings on. I've put a 3,000-bit encryption on all the station's computers. I've also had levels of secrecy put into the different departments. We don't need people mucking about and screwing things up. This station needs to stay at its top level of operation. Now, what about the shipment process? Are you saying they'll be brought over by long form?
Yep. There will be a pilot assigned for every shuttle sent over. He will be accountable for all that goes in and out of his ship. There will be no more of this crap going on. You got any questions, Don?
I believe you have made things quite clear.
Good. I believe we are done. Meet me for drinks in the mesh deck tonight?
Don't mind if I do. Have you tasted any of my special oak cured whiskey brandy mix yet? I'm working on a bourbon mix this week. Should be quite stout, but smooth.
I don't think I have. Bring some along, and I'll gladly give a taste test.
You're on.
With that, Don left the command section. Trask walked over to the windows and looked out at the deep dark of space. It made his heart mellow as though he was in the presence of an old friend. Such ruminations. Everything is getting so intense. Wow. We are going to close this episode out. Let's introduce the cast in this episode. Gary Tangaway as Rupert Trask, Cheryl Godier as Sky Landon, Ellie Hirschman as Don Wilson, Paul Bell as Jack Morden, Tim Evans as Trip Elston, Tracy Babian as Tammy Elston, Kent Lilly as Cliff Ledger, Rainin Klein as Franklin Leeds, and Chris Lindsay as Leon the Android. I'm Tracy Babian, your narrator. Join us next time as the Kyleson Chronicles, Moonbase Hope Colony, and Venus Space Station race against time while retrieving their supplies. Will the reconnaissance team get captured? If so, does that mean war between space stations? Join us next time to find out those answers. Brian, take it away.
Thanks for listening to Tides of Change, a tale from the Moonbase Hope Colony trilogy. Music is from David Feslian Studios and used with license to this podcast. This has been a presentation of Privy Project Production. For more information about the book, author, or the narrator, visit www.privy-projects.com. We'll see you next time, Space Chimps. I am Brian Session, your announcer, signing off.